Our passion didn't start with a mouth. It started with people, with the well-being of the profession. And if you're like me, maybe a little bit of your nerdiness in all things tech too. We all want to love what we do, but the truth is burnout, people problems, and glass ceilings can keep us from doing what we set out to do. So let's get back to the heart of connection. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. This show is about passing you the knowledge, the habits, the systems, and the strategies to lead your teams, lean on your tech, and listen to your gut while you take care of people and truly the overall health of our communities. Let's stop using the wrong end of the toothbrush, y'all. My name is Dr. Kelly Tanner. Oh, and uniquely, I'm a dental hygienist too. You can consider me a guru in the dental and leadership industry. With over 3 decades of experience, my goal is to take you to the next level by empowering growth, perspective, and confidence. By identifying the gaps, recognizing the plaque, and extracting the truth with the other experts in the field. I'll share their stories, empower you to own yours, and elevate your passion in the process. So have a seat in the chair, put on your bib, and let's get to work. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. I'm Dr. Kelly Tanner, and today I have with me Dr. Matthew Norton. Dr. Norton and I had an opportunity a few weeks back to connect, and I said, I must have you on my show. So thank you so much for being on, Dr. Norton.
It is my pleasure, Kelly. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, you have a fascinating story. And the more we spoke, the more I was like, okay, stop there. My fan base, my people need to hear more about what you're doing, because I think it's so intriguing in our lifetime how we can think that we are going on one path and trajectory, and you find yourself in themes of what you'd love to do. And it can look completely different, but the path is really there. And for you, it's people. People and humans are very much the center of who you are. But of course, first, we always have to ask the question, why dentistry? Because I met you through dentistry. So why dentistry for you?
Well, it is an interesting story, and I didn't intend it. I do get the chance to speak with many people and interview them for my podcast who didn't really intend dentistry. They kind of say dentistry picked me. I'm not sure if I'll say that necessarily, but yeah, my background is as a doctor of chiropractic. So I spent a lot of years building a very health focused, mostly cash successful chiropractic practice. And I loved it. I loved every minute of that. I loved all the people interaction, the care, the immediacy of the care of helping people. And then after 25 years, I wrote a book. And in writing that book, which is called Where Does It Hurt? I'm not sure how readily available it is now because I'm not really promoting it so much, but just for the shameless...
But where does it hurt? Go. Is it on Amazon?
Maybe you can still find it there. I have not continued to really nurture that. But I did that, and it led me in a different direction. I've always been patient focused. I'd always been community focused. When I wrote the book, it opened up media and speaking opportunities that I hadn't really thought about making the time and energy for, but something seemed right. Pursued that for quite a while, but it got me in front of different audiences. So I had never really thought about coaching fellow professionals. It was always the public that I was serving. But I started having people, and dentists happened to be in some of those audiences. And I had a major success early on in coaching a highly successful dentist who was ready for a next phase of reinvention. And that was so affirming that I felt like the need was recognized there, and kept going and started getting introductions from there. But I started having people asking me, like, how can I do what you're doing? And that led to me not just coaching, but it led to me trying to help other people in that journey as well. So it has been kind of interesting in that regard.
Yeah. So, okay. Chiropractor, you wrote a book,
got a bunch of publicity, because you should, because your book is probably awesome like that, because you're helping people. You happen to run into a dentist who was on his or her edge of the next breakthrough to the breakthrough. People look to you to say, how are you doing that? So you're coaching people now. I know you have a certification program that I want you to talk about. But then also, did they want to learn how to go from chiropractics into like a different realm too?
Yeah, the audience was interesting. So there's nothing really industry specific about what I do. As you mentioned earlier, I coach people. So my company is People Plus Purpose on Purpose. Those are two things that early on in my life were missing in any meaningful way. And so my journey has led me towards, as something I value, to develop that, the find the fulfillment of that in my own life, and then to want to share helping other people find the people that they need and want to help fulfill their dreams, their desires, their success. And to do it in the process of locating and fulfilling the purpose that they're here for. And a lot of people are so busy in the dailiness of doing things, mm-hmm. trying to achieve things, that both of those things can be missing or certainly suboptimal on a regular basis. Yes. So I'm trying to help. So most of my clients are in dental. But I'm not discussing system processes of dental. I have collaborator friends that I work with to help me on those ends, but I'm helping with the people part of the business.
Yeah. So are you helping dentists be better people and a better team member as well, better leader as well?
Yeah. And I've found that I've worked with, as I'm certain that you have, many genius, smart, incredibly technically skilled people that not only didn't really learn enough about business in school, but did not learn how to lead people. And suddenly there's a bunch of people there. So yeah. What am I supposed to do with that? And I don't even necessarily like that, or I don't find that I have maybe innate strengths in that area. So what am I supposed to do now? So that's where I like being able to provide input to help move forward and do that less stressfully, I think, and to a great degree.
Right. With ease, right? With ease, and hopefully with grace when you practice it enough, like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Is there a common theme that runs through how people get there that you, we'll talk about dentists right now, that when they say, man, I wasn't ready for this, like what's something that you tell them or that you give them advice on to say, all right, here's where I would start?
I think the thing that shows up the most where people realize I could maybe use some help is that there's a team member. It'll often be like, I have an office manager. If you could fix them, then all would be well with my world. But then when we have a conversation, I have to find out what fixing them means. But then we find out there were four or five other office managers that apparently needed to be fixed too and weren't fixed. And so they're no longer there. And so sometimes in those initial conversations, it will be, well, do you think maybe I could use some help? You think maybe I'm the problem? And it's like, oh, there's a good starting place to realize that it begins with you as the leader, that the cultural tone gets set by you as the leader. And I think, because I use strengths-based assessments, and so I'm trying to help people understand each other better, helping them see, you know, in terms of hiring for better role fit, for team fit, for the culture that they're trying to build. But I will start closer than that to say, who are you? That peak success that you're looking for starts with you, as if you were the first hire. Mm-hmm. Like if you were the first hire, would I hire you for this job? Well, it's like, well, I'm the owner. I know, but what are your strengths? And then how do we decide who to build around you? And if you could understand yourself better, then you'd be able to see others more accurately. And people do want to be seen for their uniqueness, for their strengths. So that's a lot of where I like to begin, as we find out where are their blockages specifically that they need to get a breakthrough on.
That self-awareness is key, isn't it? To unpack that. And then I find that people think that there is an endpoint to it. Oh, this is getting better. I must be better. And it's okay. And then they're met with something else. And then they say, oh, okay, well, I thought I was better. Well, you are better. But now this particular thing is trying to teach you something else about yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Which strength-based tool are you using?
Well, I used some things that are, as I'm understanding, the things that you use, that I have. We have a common background. Interestingly, I was invited about 6 years ago to create assessments of my own, and I never really intended that, but there was an interesting opportunity for an app that ultimately never really happened. They couldn't get the next levels of funding. So it not having anything to do with me, it went away, but I was going to white label those for them to use. And it gave me the excuse and the challenge to pursue that process. It was more arduous than I would like to remember. The science behind all of it, to be able to have the research. I mean, it had the experience because I started using assessments 26 years ago, but to craft something that was accurate and valid. So I created 9 assessments, and I have a core 4 that I use, looking at behavior, inspiration, thinking styles, and then emotional agility. So I have my core 4 that I use that kind of guide my strengths-based lens.
Wow, that's impressive. That's quite a story. Yeah, you made me sort of like shudder when you're telling me that you were working on this, because I was thinking reliability, validity, all of those things that you have to prove. And so when you're creating something like this, like any other assessment tool, you have to put it to the test to make sure that it ends up being, just for the audience, like what you think it's going to be.
Right. Right.
It gives you some, like, 1 + 2 = 10.
Right. Yeah. It's true. It was not for the faint of heart. And there were moments where I felt faint of heart probably in that process.
But congratulations on that. So you utilize these assessments and what you're doing, and those help guide your process for that personalized coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has made a big difference in the fact that I'm coaching through the lens of something that I developed, which I think is kind of unusual. But that's part of the challenge then of the coach certification training, or where that came from, of having a couple of colleague friends say, I think your assessments and the process by which you're using them to coach is unique enough that you need to do something with this that might outlive me, you know, or be able to have a wider reach. I don't know if they were thinking I'm getting older and therefore something outlive me or not.
That's not what they meant. They meant legacy.
Yes, right. Okay. Thanks for that clarification, Kel. So I proceeded to do that and create a certification training and to take on the challenge of saying, can it be beyond just me as the developer of those, uniquely coaching through those assessments? Can I help other people take a lot of that and own it at enough of a level to where they could coach and find the application, right? For all the people who don't necessarily think I want to be a coach as my career. So I'm kind of playing with that now as to the various applications for anybody. You know, for all the people who are in a dental practice, the office managers, the directors of operations, hygienists, I mean, there's the doctors themselves that could benefit from those insights, because they're still coaching people, even if they're not saying, I'm going to start a coaching career, coaching company, right?
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking too, as you're talking, my mind just opened up to, you know, how people get certain designations. They have ADOM designations in the office for office managers. They have certain badges, right. Skill level badges, training.
Right.
I mean, what a cool thing to have XYZ coaching, because that tells you that they are adept in that human management of all the aspects of what you're teaching.
Yeah. Well, thank you for seeing that. And I think, and to increase their leadership capacity in whatever their role, right? Because a lot of people have a hard time seeing themselves as a leader. Am I really a leader? Well, you can be a leader if you begin to engage and step out in front with something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can lead, but are you equipped, empowered, confident in leading in something? So I think that's part of what people can get by going through something like that.
Back again to owning it, that self-awareness piece of it, of knowing who you are as an individual and the strengths that you have. Right. And so you know, and you have that confidence and can lean into by trusting what it is that you're doing. And not that doesn't mean that you have all the answers, but it's how you approach another individual with empathy, or that you're validating them, and the active listening piece of it. That if you were to have, oh my gosh, I'm thinking of this, like they have, if you have like an OSHA coordinator and you have an infection control coordinator, why can't you have a people coordinator or the person?
Yes. Well, I think that isn't, I mean, don't you find that to be lacking?
I mean,
you can have a director of operations, say, but a lot of that tends to be by the title itself, more operational. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean sometimes they can't, or you have an HR person, but HR isn't really that. No. So who is it that's really coaching and developing inside the organization? And I think especially as you grow from one practice with one doctor to one practice, maybe with multiple doctors in a bigger team, to multiple locations, small emerging DSOs, how are you scaling the people aspect of mm-hmm. this effectively without having either turnover on a major scale, or the other T problem, which is toleration, right? I have people tell me, we don't have a turnover problem. Yeah, but there's a lot of toleration, I bet, going on both sides. I'm staying because I don't really want to leave, and I'm keeping you because I don't really want to start over looking for somebody else. But it's not the people dynamic. I'll often tell people, the business owners, it's like your people could be your greatest asset, not just be your biggest expense. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but I don't know what to do with that. Okay, well, let's talk. Let's figure out what that could look like for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the title of this person, like cruise ship director, something like that. Do you remember the Love Boat?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
What would you even call that person? Because I'm thinking about, you're exactly right, the title where they don't have that designation, but especially with, and I'm sure DSOs have, larger organizations have a title for it that I'm not aware of, but
maybe like director of people development.
Yeah. Human development. Relationship development.
Yeah. Because it is all that. Because I mean, don't you find in the work that you're doing, how like communication issues are one of the biggest problems, yes, which then leads to conflict resolution challenges. But I mean, we have more tools to communicate than ever, but I find that people are in some ways worse than ever.
Yeah. Last night I was taking my son to get some food after a lacrosse practice. And at this particular really healthy fast food restaurant to get to, there's a big kiosk that you could sit there and you can order on. There was the collection of the three teenage boys who were around it, who were putting their orders in. And I was like, can we just go right to the person and still order? And I was like, can you take them? We went directly there. By the time we had already gotten our food, those individuals were still placing the order. So there's different ways to communicate, but right, to your point, it's what right worked for you and what are the preferences
right
in which people prefer. But just communication alone by itself.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Gallup's orientation around more ongoing coaching conversations as part of the solution, instead of just these annual one-directional performance reviews. that are, do I deserve a raise or not? Or is there some egregious corrective activity that we need to discuss? But right. where are we helping develop them? Mm-hmm. And I just think that people want that and it's lacking. And then they start to feel kind of aimless and unfulfilled.
Absolutely. Because I think that like human behavior, it'll be in a good direction for a while. An event happens, or perhaps whether it be at work or personal, and it kind of throws you sideways a little bit. You try to recorrect and realign, but then sometimes things get off kilter, and that's just human nature. So how do you self-correct? How do you know when to say, okay, I'm doing that again? And, you know, it intrigued me. People would say, Kelly, you know, who are your clients with your leadership training, with organizational leadership? And the funny thing is that some of the people who, not funny, haha, but funny, interesting, but is that the people who need it often don't know that they're the ones who need it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, that's true. I mean, and even just in the world of receiving dental care and, you know, case acceptance and all of that, it's sometimes people who have the most obvious needs for help are not the ones who often say yes at the highest level. It's, you know, that it could be like, how could they walk away and not take action on all of this? But then there's other people who have more modest needs for help, but they are oriented in such a way to say, I want to be the best I can be. I want to grab a hold of all of that. If I need that, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting thing as to what people see and what people are prepared to move forward with and all of that.
So your advice to dentists who come to you for advice is, you know, take a look at yourself, kind of like peel back the curtain, see who you are, that self-awareness, who you are. And then what else is there? Is there something else that's profound or that keeps coming up for your clients that you could offer to our listeners?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had spoken when we had spoken earlier, we were kind of talking about maybe leadership insights or lessons, maybe life lessons learned sort of thing. So had a few thoughts on that, some of which we've already spoken about, but just in the time we have left, just a few thoughts on that. And part of it, we talked about reinventing already, my story of reinvention. But I really think that the journey that we're all on is, or at least can be, very dynamic. And that I think being open to reinvention is important. Sometimes we get stuck at places, and it doesn't necessarily mean we have to reinvent into some completely different thing. I, like in my practice career, I reinvented over and over again within the confines of that business model. And I just changed things as time went on. And I think sometimes we lose our level of engagement or enthusiasm or fulfillment along that way. And another one was to keep clarifying your North Star and let it be that guides the path ahead. Like, if you're clear on what that North Star, you know, having your compass guide you on that North Star, then it can help you in your decision making as to where a reinvention is appropriate, or what is the next step ahead? Because there's a lot of people, I think, that are just climbing really hard, working really hard, figuring if I just work hard every day, I'll get to where I want to go. Well, you'll get somewhere, but it might not be exactly what would be most fulfilling for you. So that's another one. And then another one is building a strengths-based culture that really does begin with you, the leader, like we were talking about. How can we craft the culture of our workplace in such a way that we're favoring and giving the microphone to each person to feature what is most uniquely them. So, because that's going to improve engagement. And then the fourth one that I wanted to mention was just how critically important emotional agility, emotional intelligence, or what in my assessment, I like to call emotional agility. Because then I think the ability to get to success with so much less negative stress
that's such a huge factor. And I know that's something that you also are very, you work with that and are very aware of that. So those are kind of the top four things that came to my mind as I was thinking what would be meaningful to share.
Yeah, it's, there's so much to say behind each of those things. And I'm thinking too, that people, we all can get put, we all, as we go along the path of life to, as you're saying, reinvent yourself, we can also get very attached to our identity and what it's called, and a mom, a dad, a sister, a wife, a husband, but then who are you?
Right.
Who are you and what is your North Star and where is that? And that can change.
Right.
People, you know this, and people yes. can get kind of disappointed. It's kind of like when you go through divorce, they're like, well, I thought I was better than that. And it's not about that.
Right.
It's you didn't fail yourself. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have to walk, we have to start. I mean, sometimes we can get too paralytic and not begin until we feel like something, until we know enough to feel completely secure in what that outcome is going to be, which almost never happens. So that much of the time we don't start. But I think it's important to be prepared to realize as you're going down that corridor in starting, the value of reinvention is when you turn, you get down to the end and you make a turn, there's doors, windows, opportunities to go into something that you couldn't see from before you made that turn. So unless you were actually moving on whatever those ideas were, if it seemed right enough, back to a North Star that says, go this way, but then be open to see where, if that might lead me, at least even in some small nuanced way, if not a larger change. And sometimes just being honest with ourselves too. I mean, sometimes we really do need to change. I mean, one of my Truth Behind Dentistry podcast episodes was with Laura Brenner. I think you probably know Laura, and you know, her desire to quit, you know, being a dentist, right? And so sometimes it could be as radical as I need to reinvent because this isn't really working for me, no matter how much time, energy, money I put into it. But for other people, it's I need to make some mid-course modification if I'm going to stay fully in the game.
It's okay to outgrow what you were doing.
Yeah.
and to want more and to get more and to, I say even strive, but you know, when the word strive kind of seems hard, but right. I say want, you know, go in that direction. And I love what you said about going up and being able to turn the corner to even see that there's right. doors and windows, what the other side of the house looks like, the building, and just,
right. Oh. Right. Yeah.
You never even knew it was there.
Right. Yeah. And maybe we think, oh, I don't have time to go there. I have people tell me that. I've got so much going on in this part of the house, if we want to use that house metaphor, that I don't really have time to visit those that other section of the house, and I don't really know what's possible there. So I think possibilities, I think the older that I get, the more I'm not only grateful for each day that I get a chance to wake up and live, which might be overly stated by people sometimes, but I think also just that there's exciting new opportunities, because part of living to me is that there's new growth, there's new ways to stay excited. People would ask me, well, why did you leave your practice career if you truly did love patient care that much? I said, because I felt like in 33 years, I could do it in my sleep. I loved it, but there was something different, more different for me. And it was a risk to leave something I'd been successful with, especially the older you get, it's riskier. But I just feel like it's never too late to restart, and that life is too long and too short to be less than rewarded on a regular basis.
Agreed. Oh my gosh. We need to do like a 400 or 500 part series on this.
Yeah. I mean, several of those things that I threw out, you're right. I mean, that could be an entire conversation.
I'm going, oh, I just want to talk about this just more.
Well, I'm happy to come back and we'll do another one.
Okay. We'll have to call it a lot of different things. We should start titling it and breaking it down, getting into the mind of Dr. Matthew Norton, the mind of, the legacy of, right? Well, thank you so much for this time that you've spent, this brief time. And for anyone who wants to get in touch with Dr. Norton, his contact information is in the show notes. And is there anything particular that you wanted to call? I know you have a coaching certification. Where can they find that?
You can go to, what is the, we'll put it in the show notes. How about
yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
peopleplurpose.com/coach-certification is what I think it is.
Wow. Okay. So go to People Plus Purpose website and then you could find it. So, yes.
Right. And they can always reach out to me at drnorton@peopleplurpose.com too. So
cool. Thank you. Thank you so much for your expertise. It's been a pleasure connecting with you. And for all of our listeners, thank you so much for everything that you do every day to touch the lives of people in your community. And, you know, I always ask, go on to Apple, give a 5-star rating, and then go on over to YouTube, like, subscribe, share with your friends, but hit the subscribe button because that's when you get notified when any new episode comes out. So thank you guys. We will see you next time. Be well, my friends. See you, Dr. Norton.
Thank you, Kelly.